health and fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com. Midlands
103. It is International Women's Day and I am Claire O'Brien, delighted to welcome you to the Health and Fitness Show this evening. And I am honoured to be sitting in the seat of, well, don't tell Will Faulkner, the fittest man at Midlands 103 Towers. Your usual host, David Hollywood, is probably out for a very fast and very athletic run this evening while I am on air in his place. Now, having the chance to take over the airwaves tonight in the health and fitness hot seat has got me thinking over the last while about the women in my life and how those women live in their bodies and how we want to live in our bodies in the future. It is something that has very definitely been on my mind for the last while, particularly as I get older, and especially after a conversation terrified me, actually, with a friend. We were sitting in Kilkenny on the street, really busy street, having a coffee towards the end of the summer. She turned 50 last year and she said to me, "You know, Claire, I probably have a good 20 years left. Look around you," she said. "How many older women do you see there? How many women do you see who are over 70 and who are as fit and as flexible and as agile as we are now? This is as good as it's going to get." And I have to say that absolutely put the frighteners on me. So tonight's show is about how we as women can future-proof our bodies for the future, for a happy and healthy older age. We're going to do that on the show tonight with the help of some people who know a lot about women's physical and mental health, about the menopause, because it is an unavoidable part of getting older and a part that we need to understand. And we'll chat about nutrition at various different stages in our lives, our 30s, our 40s, our 50s and our 60s. So where can future-proofing our bodies for our fabulous futures begin? Awareness of how it works and how it changes is a good place to start. And on International Women's Day, that has to begin with that huge transitional phase of our lives, one that we didn't hear about for years and years and years, but has been finally, unfortunately, in the news more recently. That's the menopause. Mary McHugh from County Offaly is well known as Menopause Mary. She has been preaching the gospel of menopause awareness for a long time now. She's on Facebook. She's been on the airwaves here on Midlands 103 as well. Mary, you're very welcome to the Health and Fitness Show tonight. And I want to start in our 30s. I am thinking women maybe with a small child or two or three, they have a full-time or a part-time job inside or maybe even outside the home, and they have so much going on in their lives. Is it too soon? It's surely not too soon. Or is it to be thinking about the menopause and looking down the line to that healthy, fit and active older age that we all want? Is it?
Oh, definitely. I think we all really need to think about it, even from when we get our very first period, that we know it will come to an end, but also we have to get our bodies and minds ready for it. So it's not just the case of the period stopping and it's happy days. When the period stops, then the hormones stop, and then we have to regulate everything that comes along, whether it's the mood swings, the anxiety, the depression, the weight gain. You know, people lose their hair. So many women lose thinning on their hair. Your bones get weaker. So we have to know what is happening. That can happen 10 years after it, 15, 20, 25, to always be trying to get one step ahead of it, whether it's your physical exercise or something to help you with your moods and understand what way your body is going to keep changing. Because it's not going to just level off. It's a constant change. Every day is a little bit different. If you don't know what's happening, you feel it's getting worse and worse. Where if you can understand what's actually happening to your body and why I'm getting the hot flushes or the cold ones, then you can say, right, well, this is the transition from one section into the next of the menopause.
Can we go back a little bit in time and tell me, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently in your 30s? Bearing in mind that you were, you know, you had a full and busy life and lots of different priorities at that stage. What would you have done differently to prepare yourself for the life you're in now and the body that you are living in now?
Right. Well, if I was able to go back, as they say, and you tell your younger self, it would definitely be to keep with some exercise. Not going crazy, but even just keeping with walking, doing some weights, and then to educate myself on what was going to happen. because my biggest fail was I did not know that I was in perimenopause, and I assumed menopause happened when you're about 60. So I was totally unaware of what was happening, and you'd be thinking of everything else that would be going on. If you had too many headaches, you'd be thinking, oh, I've a brain tumour or whatever. In actual fact, it's part of the menopause. So some women get lots of migraines, lots of headaches, aches and pains. You get your knee pain in today, your hip pain in tomorrow. And instead of worrying about and heading off to the doctor and thinking that you've done yourself an injury, when you mightn't have even done a bit of exercise, understand that your body is going through constant change and you need to go with the flow as such, but understand how you can help yourself along. So for me, it would have been get more vigilance into you, get more an understanding of what's actually happening inside your body so you can help the outside of your body. So you need to have a good education on what menopause is going to do. And it won't be the same for every woman. Some people absolutely sail through it and other women just get a rough time of it. But I think if we all have a rough idea of how to set little small goals to get ourselves going, that we'll be able to live through it.
I suppose the generation of women who are in their 30s now, they won't have known probably very elderly grandparents or, you know, kind of a generation of older women who were very frail from a relatively young age and very grey. Being old today is not what it used to be. And we expect as we get older that we're going to live a much, much longer and richer life maybe than our grandparents did or our great-grandparents did. There has probably never been a better time than now to be a woman growing older and to be a woman in your 30s or your 40s, thinking ahead to growing older and the body that you'll have at that stage.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we now know that the 60s are the new 40s, you know, everything like that. So like people are living on average about 20 years more than years ago. And you're saying about the brittle bones, like women years ago, because they never said anything about going through the menopause, it wasn't spoken. There was no HRT available to them. And that's why when they'd have a small tip or a small fall, they'd end up breaking a bone. So you'd always see your granny, who might have only been in her 60s, on a little Zimmer frame, and she could have fallen and have a broken hip. Where now, if a woman in her 60s falls, she just gets back up because her body is stronger because of the education that we know about what's happening to our bodies and how to stop getting so frail and, you know, not being able to look after ourselves when we're older. So the 60s now are really the 80s and we're looking after ourselves. And yeah, I see women in their 80s out walking. And you know what, they're absolute credit to the rest of us. That's what we should be doing. We should be going out and spending time for ourselves. We come home, we go to work, we come back in, we're doing the laundry, we're doing the cooking, we're making sure the kids go to their activities. We have to make time for ourselves to do our activities, which is going to be worth for us in the end of it. That we're in our late 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s if we're lucky enough, that we're still going to be mobile and able to get around.
The thing that a woman in her 30s with a couple of small kids or a full-time job or a part-time job, you know, and parents that she may be involved in minding as well is going to say, yeah, that's all great. But where do I find space for myself to exercise when I have two small kids or I'm trying to do all of these other things? I'm just getting through the day one foot in front of the other. Is it possible?
I think it is possible to do it. And I think like I would have been in the same situation when I was in my 30s and my kids were younger. I was kind of going, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to do it. And it's not that you have to be selfish and give yourself time. You have to prioritize. And if you're not capable of minding everybody else, then they're all at a loss. So you need to look after yourself first, feed, nutrition, exercise, and then you're able to look after everyone else, whether it's your kids or whether it's your parents or your job or whatever. But you need to put yourself in a priority that if it was the case of you were feeding your child, you're not going to say, oh, they can do without. You're going to feed yourself and your child. You're going to look after yourself and your child. And then when you're in your 50s and 60s, all the steps that you have put in place for yourself to make yourself a better person, for a better quality of life, your children are now watching you. And if you have daughters, they're watching you and they're seeing your good habits. They're following through with them. So we're creating a new cycle that is allowing women to get the best quality for themselves in life every day.
Okay, Mary, we're just going to pause it there for a second, I think, and we'll take a break. You're listening to the Health and Fitness Show on Midlands 103. It's me, Claire O'Brien, sitting in for David Hollywood because it is International Women's Day and we are taking over the airwaves. And we are looking at how, as a woman, you can future-proof your body in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s and your 60s so that you can live a longer, healthier and ultimately happier life as you grow older. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back to you shortly.
Health and fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com. Midlands
103. And you're very welcome back to the Health and Fitness Show with me, Claire O'Brien. On the line, I have Mary McHugh, and Mary, as you know, is perimenopause. Just before the break, we were talking about what women can do in their 30s, which is a time I suppose many of us hadn't thought about, traditionally wouldn't have thought about the menopause and growing older, but it's something increasingly that we're becoming aware of. Mary, you mentioned a little bit earlier on then about, you know, many women in their 40s experiencing perimenopause. You mentioned some of those symptoms. Just give us a sense, as a woman in your 40s, what can be happening to you and what are those things that you could say, yeah, that might be worth a call to a doctor. Those are things, if I put all of those symptoms together, they might be leading me down the perimenopause route.
Yeah, so Claire, I think a lot of things would be things that we kind of put off to, oh, that's just getting an ache or a pain or whatever. But if you're getting constant, say, like hip pain or knee pain, there are symptoms as well that people think about. Ringing in your ears, you know, you have the sweat. So you wake up during the night and you feel like you're absolutely drenched out of it. Some people don't have that at all, but they might have a hot flush during the day. So it could be feels like from the inside of your body just heats up all of a sudden. And it's like within a split second, it's gone from your head to your toes and everywhere in between. And it's just pumping sweat all over and then it's gone. And some women I've talked to have actually had cold sweats. Now, I've never had them. So when I heard that, I was kind of going, oh, that's a new one, but I don't have that. But women, you put one or two things together, you can say to yourself, yeah, this could actually be perimenopause. And when your periods get irregular in any shape or form, so whether they increase by a day or they decrease, or you've skipped one or two in the last year, and when you're coming into your mid-40s, you should really say, look, this is perimenopause. And there's absolutely nothing to be ashamed about. It's natural. It's a completely natural stage. We went through our puberty and now we're going through our menopause. So I think just to watch out for small little changes in your body. It could be some weight gain, it could be weight loss, it could be your hair thinning. And then you're kind of saying to yourself, right, okay, is my cycle the same? No, it's not. Okay, have I got any sweats that I didn't usually have? And then you can sit yourself down and go through them all and say, right, well, maybe I should just go to my GP or the menopause specialist and see, is this the start of the menopause for me? And if it is, not to fear, because there's so many options out there with alternative medicine, vitamins and HRT, you know, there's no worry for people anymore to be saying, there's nothing I can do. There's tons of things you can do to help you.
Yeah, I would have to say that I feel like I am one of the luckiest women in the Midlands because I have a phenomenal doctor at a terrific practice. And they're really terrific, really, really are. But I know many women probably will go to a doctor and the doctor, you know, with a list of some of those issues that you mentioned there, and they may be sent away with a prescription or they may not find that there's time there for a doctor to be able to listen to them. And the menopause might be the last thing on the doctor's mind. I suppose it's fair for people to say, to go to the doctor and say, this is what I'm going through, this, this and this. Is there any chance this could be related to the menopause? And if you don't get a good listening to be able to say to your doctor, look, I'll come back in 6 months or I'll come back in another while, but I really would like us to have a proper conversation then. And the hope that maybe your doctor will be tuned in, because not all doctors are tuned in to menopause.
No, I completely agree with you. It's so hard. And when you do get a good GP or menopause specialist, like you're hanging on to them like gold dust. But I do think that now, in the last 12 months as such, really, that the conversation has been opened up so much more, that GPs, even outside of the practice, in their own daily life, are having these conversations with their own family, with their own friends. And it's becoming more and more aware that the menopause doesn't hit at just a certain time, and there is more than one exact symptom, or you don't have to have all 20 symptoms. But when you do go into your doctor, have your list wrote out, whether it's on an app or whether it's on a piece of paper. And if your doctor you feel is absolutely blanking you, then take up a second opinion. But if you also think that your doctor's kind of going, well, we're not 100% sure, say, okay, fair enough, I'm going to come back to you in, say, 3 months or 6 months, and we're going to discuss this again, but I'm going to keep a diary. So you need to keep your own little diary of what's going on, and then you're able to go back in. And it's like having your own admission. You're just able to go in and say, right, this is what's wrong. This has been happening for X amount of months. And to come prepared, because your voice is your power. You don't go in anymore to GPs like it used to be done maybe 50, 60 years ago. And no matter what the doctor said to you, it was what he said went. Now you go in, we're educated, we're able to go on the internet, we're able to check out things. So I think if you firmly feel that you're going through the menopause, no matter what age it is, or perimenopause, stick by your guns and look after yourself. Because if you don't be the loudest voice for your own health, nobody else is going to do it for you. So you have to stand by your guns and go for yourself.
So in my 30s, I'm educating myself. In my 40s, I'm paying attention to what's going on. I'm writing that diary. In my 50s, what am I going to do to future-proof my body for the future? To future-proof my body?
I think now, I'm in my late 40s at the moment, so I'm thinking when I'm going into my 50s, what am I going to do, or what am I going to change? Well, I'm not going to change any of my good habits. I'm going to keep with those. And anything else, then it would be look after my skin, look after my health, look after my mental health as well. Because I think a lot of women go through the menopause in their 40s, heading into the 50s, and they're concentrating so much on the family, on their job and everything else, that they kind of let themselves go. And that's where a lot of women that I have spoken to throughout the last 2 years have come to me and said, you know what, I actually hit crisis in around my 50s. So I think we need to be fully aware that every year it's changing differently. So you have to adapt to everything. So adapt and overcome each situation. But remember to talk. There's loads of people out there who will talk to us. There's loads of groups. There's loads of societies. So I think that if I'm standing here now looking at myself when I'm in my 50s, I'm saying, did you look after your body? Yes. Did you keep going? Okay. Did you look after your mental health and everything around you? And I think then you'll have a good structure in with yourself again, that you're already doing everything that you should be doing in your 40s, continue into your 50s, and keep looking after yourself. And always remember, your circle of friends are absolutely so important. And if you're a person that's listening today and you don't have a load of friends, you will get a support group, or you'll get help through your GP. But make sure you talk and be the loudest voice in the room for your own health.
And finally then, moving into your 60s, what can we reckon with then, and how can we future-proof our bodies?
Well, for my 60s, I'm thinking I'm still going to be running around like a young one in my 20s in my head. So I hope that everyone else feels the same. But you know, it's another stage in your life. You're adding on another 10 years after you're 50, and your body may slow down a little bit. But don't let it slow down completely. Don't go, oh, well, now I'm in my 60s, I'm old. No, you're not. Your 60s is the new 40s. Remember that. So you keep moving yourself. You might not be able to do the amount of workouts that you did when you were in your 30s or 40s or your 50s, but your mindset has to remain the same. You are keeping your body going as if you would do maintenance on your car. If you don't do maintenance on the car, it will seize up and it'll be no good to you. So you keep doing all the exercise that you can do. You look after your nutrition. You look after your health. You look after yourself, whether that's just going out for a walk, whether it's meeting up with friends and looking after your HRT, or if you're going down the natural alternative route. But make sure that you keep going and looking after yourself. Never say that, oh, when I've hit my 60s, sure, that's it, I can do no more, I'll just revert back. No, keep going and going and going, because their 70s and 80s and the 90s are still waiting on us, and we still want to enjoy life to the full. We don't want to be sitting around on our Zimmer frame saying, well, if I had actually done a bit more exercise or looked after myself or done a bit of weight bearing exercise, I'd be in such a better position. So I'm telling my 60-year-old self, you're not going to stop. You're going to keep going and try to keep as positive as you can. And remember to reach out when you are struggling. Always ask for help with someone.
Mary McHugh, thank you so much for talking to us on the programme this evening. That's a really positive note to end this section of the Health and Fitness programme on. We are, after the break, going to follow up with some more specific advice around that, particularly around nutrition as we move into our 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s, and also in terms later in the show of exercise. What can we be doing physically to mind our bodies in our 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s? Because we want, as women, to have the best life that we can possibly have as we grow older. Stay with us here on the Health and Fitness Show on Midlands 103.
Health and Fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com. Midlands
103. You're welcome back to the Health and Fitness Show this International Women's Day. In the first half of the programme, we've been looking at what's going on in our women's bodies. And in this half, we'll be looking at what we can do to them and for them. Trish Heavey is a lecturer at the Technical University of the Shannon. She teaches on the Nutritional and Health Sciences degree. And she is going to talk us through how the decisions that we make about what we put into our bodies can have an impact on the different stages of our lives. And Trish, is that the case, that what we put into our body can have a huge impact on how our bodies change as we grow older?
Absolutely, because we all know that food is just so vital for so many aspects of health, and it also plays a role in disease as well if we don't get the right balance. And I suppose on top of that, like, food is just such an enjoyable thing. It's a social thing, a cultural thing. So it plays a huge part in so many of our lives, and all of that then feeds into our health as well. And so, of course, it's really important, you know, to think about what you're eating at all stages. But then I suppose in different decades, there's probably a few little things to just look out for as well.
When we start in the 30s, which I suppose is an age where very often women are really busy, maybe managing a life inside the home and outside the home, maybe hoovering up bits in a hurry off somebody, a small person's plate as they're clearing off the table. What's advisable for women in their 30s when they're thinking about how they are feeding themselves as well as their families?
Yeah, and I suppose you've touched on a really nice point there, Claire. A lot of people are really busy in their 20s and 30s. And I suppose, you know, kind of your health might take a bit of a back step because you're just looking after so many other people. And people might kind of be looking to use things like convenience foods and whatnot. And, you know, there's a time and a place for all of those sorts of foods. They can be absolutely brilliant, especially if you're in a rush or, you know, lack of time. But I suppose if you're eating a lot of those sorts of foods, you're probably also missing out on some other really important nutrients that are really key at this time. One of the big ones is fibre. We know that around this age group, you know, only about 4% of women are actually hitting their fibre targets. And, you know, that has an impact on gut and gut health. And later on in life, that can also have an impact on other chronic diseases. So I suppose by eating foods from the bottom of the food pyramid, you know, your whole grains, your fruit and veg, and you're also getting lots of other really important nutrients there as well, you know, you're going to help with your fibre and your fibre intake. Another big one at this time, and it's really important, is that, you know, we're still kind of laying down the foundations for our bones in our 20s and 30s. And a lot of women in Ireland are not eating enough calcium, and that's what we need for building those healthy bones. And so again, that inclusion of dairy and, you know, calcium rich foods is really, really important, because after the age of 35, our bones start to deteriorate very slowly, but they're starting the density in our bones is starting to go down. So if we can kind of optimize it up to that point, we're starting then from a really good starting place.
I didn't realize it was that young, 35. On the subject of the fiber, you know, and the fruit and vegetables, I suppose, does it matter whether it's fresh fruit? Can it be tinned fruit? Can it be frozen fruit? How does that work? Does it have to be fresh fruit or fruit and vegetables?
No, and that's the nice thing about this. Obviously, it's great if we can get fresh fruit and vegetables into our diet, but, you know, frozen veg, there's such great variety out there now. And in some cases, we know that when we do analysis on frozen veg, especially things like peas and whatnot, they have higher vitamin C in them because they're frozen so quickly after being packed. So, you know, frozen is absolutely great. It's just trying to make sure that when you're looking for those options that they mightn't have added salt or maybe a bit of butter and a few other bits added in. So, you know, you can get some really good options. And like you said, there's probably lots of little people in the house, and you know, something like frozen peas are a lifesaver when it comes to that. You know, tins and all those can be quite useful as well. And especially say for people as they get older, you know, the softer foods can be quite useful. But generally, you know, if you can get the fresh, the frozen, and even occasionally a fruit juice or whatever, absolutely fine.
Okay, we move into the 40s then. And what are the key steps if we take fibre and calcium in our 30s? What are the key things to look out for in our 40s?
I suppose, and this is something that's very close to my heart now, Claire, because I do a lot of research into this. I suppose at this time, a lot of women are going into perimenopause. And there's a few things going on here. Again, you know, you might think that the 30s are busy. The 40s can suddenly be even busier because there could be an even bigger mix of household care. You know, there might be parents to look after as well as younger children, you know, and busy careers and lots of other things going on. So there's a lot of lifestyle changes happening too. But I suppose perimenopause is also probably happening from around the mid-40s onwards for a lot of women. And I suppose, you know, from our own research, we find that women don't realise until many years later when they look back, they go, oh my gosh, I was going through perimenopause then. And they suddenly realise that all of these different symptoms that they were experiencing, you know, were happening around that time. So one of the big things women see is a change in their body shape, you know, around this time, estrogen levels are changing as a result of the menopause. So estrogen levels are starting to fluctuate. And estrogen is such a hugely important hormone. It's so important in reproduction, but it plays a role in so many other things in our bodies as well. And one of those things is actually where the weight in our body goes. So I suppose in our 20s and 30s, a lot of women tend to put on weight around kind of, you know, the thighs and the bum area. Mm. And then as we get older, we start to see that kind of going to what we call middle age spread, I suppose, you know, that thickening of the waist. And that's estrogen. That's what's happening here. Those changes in estrogen is having that impact. And because that weight, you know, even though the weight on the scales mightn't be changing, but the body shape is changing, I suppose now you're kind of increasing your risk of things like heart disease and those sorts of things. Women in their 40s start to see maybe that their cholesterol goes up. And then they could also be experiencing menopausal symptoms, hot flushes and other things as well. So diet is really important here, you know, as well as other supports if needed. But we do find that things like the Mediterranean style diet seems to be really quite beneficial, especially for looking after, you know, heart health. So, you know, including lots of fruit and veg, but oily fish is really important for heart health here too. You know, and making sure that you're getting that variety of foods into your diet there.
Okay, well, we've successfully maybe then negotiated our 40s and into what we were told earlier on in the programme is the new 30s, which is the 50s.
Nice one.
How can we support ourselves nutritionally then in our 50s and maybe into our 60s as well?
Sure, yeah. What we see actually, the menopause is probably still happening for a lot of women around this time, Claire. And what we do tend to see is that maybe those hot flushes and things like that can be quite severe in the early 50s. One of the things that women do find can be supportive for this are things called phytoestrogens. Phytoestrogens are basically the plant version of estrogen. You know, they're the estrogen version that you find in plants. So foods that contain that are, you know, soy foods and things like that, these are really, really high in these phytoestrogens. And, you know, research has shown that they can help to alleviate some of those hot flushes and things like that around that time. Okay. So that can be quite useful for women at this stage. The other thing as well is, I suppose, as we're now starting to get a bit older, things like our taste buds don't, you know, work quite as well. So we might be adding a little bit extra salt to our food and things like that. And we just need to watch that because blood pressure and those sorts of things start to go up. So looking at using, you know, herbs and spices and other ways of kind of intensifying flavors of foods, you know, to avoid starting to get into the habit of overusing salt.
I think one of the things we also notice, I've certainly noticed in women who are a little bit older in my life, once they start to get into their 60s, their appetite seems to decrease a little bit. And the notion of eating, you know, what they might have eaten as a plate of dinner in their 40s or their 50s is unappealing sometimes, just in terms of volume.
Very much so. Yes, yeah. Well, you see, all of these physiological changes are starting to happen, especially kind of from the 60s onwards. So, you know, you have a kind of a smaller appetite. A lot of people might find it not difficult, but they might be starting to experience teeth problems, you know, chewing, swallowing, and also things like your taste buds and that aren't as heightened as they would have been before. So the appeal mightn't be always there. And people might find it a little bit more difficult to chew different types of foods. So again, that's why you often see people as they get older kind of the diet just gets a bit softer, and that in itself can be a little bit less appealing. So again, these sorts of changes happen now. But as you said, a lot of these things are happening later and later because we are living with better health, which is fabulous to see. And so a lot of those things that we might have seen earlier years ago are now happening later as people get older. But I suppose one of the big things we do see as we get into our 60s is our ability to make vitamin D. So this is a big one. Generally speaking, in Ireland, most of us aren't getting enough vitamin D, and we would recommend to the majority of the population to take a supplement between Halloween and Paddy's Day, because, you know, we don't get enough sun, and if we do go out in the sun, I suppose we're wearing sun cream, but we're also, and also the foods that have vitamin D in them are things like your oily fish, your egg yolks, some fortified cereals and things like that. So not a huge range of foods, so it's hard for people to get it through their diet. So most people should be taking a supplement, but over 60s, you know, over 65 should actually be taking that supplement all year round, and that's because their body isn't actually able to make vitamin D in the same way as somebody who's younger.
I'm going to ask you one final question there. That is just fascinating. Would it be fair to say that at all of the different stages that we're at in our lives, we are what we eat? Our future, we will become what we eat?
Well, I suppose it'll play a big role, but there's so much else going on as well, you know, and I suppose it's, you know, people's genetics, their physical activity, their stress levels and all of those sorts of things. So I do feel like obviously food is extremely important, and getting that, you know, mixed and varied diet is extremely important. But it's also to recognize that, you know, we do live very busy lives, and, you know, we do have to enjoy ourselves. And all of that can be all really, really good for us. You know, so there's nothing better sometimes than having, you know, a really good slap up meal that mightn't be something you should be having every day, but it works wonderfully for the soul. So it's a matter of getting that balance right across the lifespan. But you are right, you know, it is really important to start thinking about our health, but it's never too late to make changes either.
Dr. Trish Heavey, thank you so much for talking to us on the Health and Fitness programme this evening. And just a quick summary of what Trish was saying there. In your 30s, fibre and calcium are essential. In your 40s, watch your diet. Stick to a Mediterranean diet if you can, and oily fish is really important. In your 50s, the phytoestrogens, soy, soybeans, tofu, edamame beans. And in your 60s, add the vitamin D. After 65, every day vitamin D. Watch your salt and add more spices to make your food a little bit more palatable as your taste buds change. A fascinating conversation. Really, really glad we had that tonight in the programme. And my thanks to Trish Heavey. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about what we can do with our bodies, or what we can get them to do. How flexible can we be as we grow older? Stay with us on the Health and Fitness programme on Midlands 103.
Health and fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com.
It's International Women's Day, and Midlands 103, and that is why you're listening to me, Claire O'Brien, sitting in David Hollywood's seat this evening. We have been taking a look at how we as women in our 30s, our 40s, our 50s and our 60s can take steps to future-proof our bodies so they will be the fittest, healthiest and best-fueled companions that we can take on our life's journey. And to be fair, I think most women really only start to worry about their bodies physically when they stop doing what it is we would like them to be doing. So when we're creaking at the hinges, our knees or our hips are sore, our back is giving us trouble, or we realise that bending down and getting up again are not activities to be undertaken lightly. Hazel Keegan is with Muscle Unwind, which provides advanced sports massage therapy geared towards active and hardworking people. Hazel, we are not great at maintenance, are we? We're more inclined to wait until we're basically until we're broken and aim then for the big overhaul rather than doing the daily maintenance. So I'm wondering if we minded our bodies as well as we mind, for example, our kitchen counters, keeping those clean and tidy every single day, would we be a lot healthier?
Yeah, absolutely. What I tend to find is very few people look at symptoms until those symptoms are painful. So until the issue presents itself as them not being able to do a task, that's when people often come in. And when they come in and can't do the task, then you have to unravel, typically, so much more than if they either came in for sort of maintenance or maintain themselves a little bit more, or if they came in when they started to feel that little niggle or a mild pain.
Does it vary depending on the age that you're at, the decade that you're in?
People in, and this is obviously, a very big generalization, but a lot of the people I see in their 70s and in their 80s, they've less connection with their body. So their body just does the work that they need it to do until suddenly it doesn't, until suddenly it sort of breaks. And when I'm treating them and I might give instructions to, press your fingers down into the cushion, for example, they can't do it so quickly because they're not used to just isolating the fingers or isolating the hands or the arms or whatever. So there's less understanding there, and with that less understanding or less connection, they tend to ignore symptoms an awful lot longer until suddenly they can't reach over their heads.
Yeah, there are basic things that we do every day. You bend down to empty the dishwasher. You decide to put your foot up on a chair to tie your laces rather than bending down. You decide maybe I'll go with something that doesn't require me to tie laces. And I suppose in a small way, people make those little incremental decisions and don't realise that they're losing fitness and flexibility.
Exactly right. You've hit the nail on the head. So what we tend to go for, and it doesn't matter if you're in your 70s, because it's everyone in their 20s, it's right through the ages. We're essentially going for convenience. Or if we're in pain, we're obviously going for the thing that, keeps you out of pain. That's totally understandable because you don't want to do an action that keeps you in pain. All the things that we're buying now are much more convenient. For example, the thing that I notice, very few people come into me and say, when I'm turning my head in the car, when I'm reversing, my neck is sore. And another one is like the boot. So the car boot is quite often opened with a button now, and sometimes it's even closed with a button. So you never have to reach up, and I'm pretty short, so I would have to really reach to get what we call end of range. So the end of range movements, whether it's with your toes, your legs, your ankle, your arm, we never really get there anymore because all the things we're doing are quite convenient. They're quite close to us, or it's done by a button, or in kitchens, we might keep presses kind of lower, so we never have to really reach up. So yeah, there's definitely a limitation of movement there. So basically, you'll have heard the adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. Your end of range is 10 out of 10 and you actually only ever reach to 8 out of 10, that would be your new end of range.
So what can we do to future-proof ourselves so that we're not ending up in that situation when we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s?
Absolutely. So there's movement. It's so basic, but, and people sometimes don't want to hear it, is movement. So, really kind of stretching into certain movements. So if you have an issue with your neck, the neck does really 6 movements. If you stretch those movements, whether it's ear to shoulder, looking over your right shoulder, and we're talking, you know, for example, 2-3 minutes a day on that particular limb, it's really very little to sort of keep that. And you can really stretch to end of range, and then you sort of breathe into it and suddenly you can go a little bit further. So a good example, an absolute catch-all, is yoga. So I'm a huge supporter of yoga for every age group, you know, both men and women, because it stretches you to end of range. And it does it in a sort of a safe environment and stuff as well. So not everyone loves yoga because of the pace of it, but there's so many different types of yoga, and it really connects you with your body. That's the main thing. A lot of people don't like yoga for that reason, because it's very sort of inward looking and maybe a little bit not as fast as they would like.
Well, I'm going to give a shout out for Yoga with Adrienne on YouTube, because it's free.
Same.
You can do it in your kitchen, in your sitting room. Nobody's going to see you in your tracksuit or your yoga pants or whatever it is that you have. Doesn't matter what's hanging where. And it's really easy, and she's just lovely to engage with.
She's very nice. She's got a lovely sort of tone. And the best thing is, it's very relatable. So you can do a 10-minute one, 20-minute one, 30, 40, whatever, one for back, one for hips.
Take your pick. There's hundreds of videos there. So yoga is the first tip. Have you a second tip?
Yeah. So one of the things that I notice all the time is, you know, people might come in with elbow pain or shoulder pain, and we'll talk through it and we'll assess and so on and so forth. And really what I'll ask is, you know, when do you feel the pain, first of all? That's very important. But where do you spend most of your time of the day? You know, where is most of your time spent? You know, loads of people, most people will be at a desk. If you're at a desk, there's probably a computer. Then I'll check if it's sort of a laptop, desktop sort of situation. So if somebody has a right shoulder issue, I'm going to jump straight towards the position of the mouse on their desk. So that's like going straight into where they spend their time if it's at a desk. If somebody's spending time in their car, if they're a taxi driver, a truck driver, any of these sorts of things, or commuting long distances, and they're having back pain, you know, I'll suggest that they reset all the settings on their seat and they find the position that's really comfortable. So it's about where you spend your time and making sure it is sort of correct and your body is in the most relaxed, neutral position. Because people tend to not think of it. And that's the same with people who have children. So, you know, where you're going to hold the child, if you're breastfeeding, for example, shoulders tend to come up really high up around the ears. And you can actually hold the baby just the same, but the shoulders can drop. So it's about finding a position that isn't awkward and is nice and natural and neutral.
So we have yoga positions, and then we have finding the comfortable positions and that are more natural for us. Have you another tip for us?
Getting to that end of range, which is in the same sort of thing as yoga. Don't stay in pain for too long. First of all, it's not very good for the body, because you're in pain, and that's not really good for the sort of happy hormones and whatnot. But if you're in pain for more than a handful of weeks, probably, just get it seen to. So whether it's a physio or whether it's somebody like myself, I have a lot of people who come in and say, I've had carpal tunnel, tennis elbow for ages. Sometimes it's not tennis elbow. It's just tight forearm muscles, and I can get them out of pain, you know, sometimes even in that one session. And it can often be a really emotional response because they've been in pain for a long time. It could be months, it could be a year and a half, whatever. It could be a long time. And sometimes it's just tight muscles that can be solved. So to stay in pain is just such a waste of time, really.
Okay.
To get it seen.
And finally, you had a fourth tip that you were going to offer our listeners for their decades of future-proofing their health.
One I really love, and it's both a physical and a mental de-stressor. It's called progressive muscle relaxation. You can do it for 5 minutes. You can do it for 40 minutes. It starts at the tip of the head and goes to the toes, typically. And essentially, it's about, so if I start at the top of the head, it's about the forehead. And you're trying to relax the forehead. So if you're not sure whether you are relaxed, then you squeeze the forehead and release it. And then do that 2 or 3 times. So you're squeezing to release and then squeezing to release. And it's a quite a euphoric feeling when you actually release something. So I tend to get quite tight in the jaw. and because I grind my teeth a little bit and I clench my jaw quite a lot when I'm not really aware of it. So for me, at nighttime, before I go to sleep, I tend not to do the head to toe, but I tend to focus on my face where I tend to get whole tension. So I'll clench my jaw, so I'll really squeeze it very tight and then let it go. And I'll do that about 4 or 5 times. And it's an incredible way of just taking that tension out. Like with the shoulders, pulling it up to the ears, all the way up to the ears, and then sudden release. It's really nice. So it's squeezing to let it go.
It is really all the around movement, isn't it? And being more active in all the different ways.
What really it actually is it's awareness and action. So it's even being aware of it. That's a big gap from a lot of people. They're not paying attention to the pain, or they're not paying attention to, oh, I'm doing the movement differently. So it's being aware that they're doing that and then taking action, whether it's yoga or progressive muscle relaxation or stretching or whatever it might be. So it's both of those things combined, yeah.
Hazel, thanks so much for talking to us tonight on the Health and Fitness Show. That is Hazel Keegan from Muscle Unwind in Tullamore. Thanks to Dr. Trish Heavey and Mary McHugh, and to your regular host, David Hollywood, who has been very helpful. I hope you've enjoyed the programme this evening and that you've learned something that you will carry with you into your next healthier, fitter and happier decade. It has been a pleasure spending my International Women's Day evening with you. Take care of yourselves, ladies. Good night.
Health and fitness with the all-new Midlands Park Health and Fitness Club, where relaxation meets rejuvenation. Find out more at midlandsparkhotel.com. Midlands 103.